As we look around the church and the world today and see all the various problems that there are, we have to be able to put things into proper priorities. There are lots and lots of issues that we could focus on. And today the church asks us to look at the family, because that's the most important of them all. Everything flows from the family. And since the family is the foundation for both society and for the church, if the family is broken, so is society, and so is the church. So while there are all kinds of things that we can do and talk about, this is the one that's most important. We look at what just happened in the church this last week. All the cardinals of the world got together, and of all the topics that they could have talked about, they decided what was most important was synodality. In other words, let's fiddle while Rome burns. How about let's talk about what's really important? Let's focus on what is the most critical of all of the issues in the church and in the world. Because Satan is not stupid. He has hatched his most diabolical plan yet, and that is to attack the family. The way that he's been able to do that is just to use what is natural to us all. Selfishness. Pure and simple selfishness. Almost all of the problems within a marriage and a family come down to that one point, because it is exactly the opposite of what marriage and family is about. And consequently, if we are trying to live in a way that is contrary to what is supposed to be, obviously what is supposed to be can't be. And it destroys everything. So we hear what St. Paul says in the first reading, telling us that we have to have a heart full of mercy and kindness and humility and meekness and patience. We have to be forgiving of one another. All of those are absolutely essential in a marriage and in a family. And then he says, but above all these, have charity. That is the one thing that was vowed on the day that a couple got married, that they would love one another every day for the rest of their lives. Now, we live in a society where reason has been thrown out, and it has all been replaced with emotion. And so we have lots of people getting married today that think that love is an emotion. It's gush. And it has nothing to do with that at all. Love is not an emotion, it is a virtue. And what a couple vows on the day that they get married is that they're going to seek only the good of the other person. In other words, charity is the opposite of selfishness, which is why, as I said a minute ago, selfishness is the opposite of what marriage and family is supposed to be about. And if we are acting selfishly within a marriage, the whole thing is going to crash. How could it not? Two selfish creatures trying to live in a house together? It isn't going to work. And so we have to ask ourselves, what is marriage all about? Let's start with what it's not. Marriage is not just about two people living together to raise children. That's not what it's about. Because if you just leave it that way, it's anyone and everyone. And we look at all of these aberrations that we're dealing with today, that we're calling marriage that is not. We have two men or two women or three or five or however many want to think that they're going to be together. Now, marriage is about one male and one female. But it's even more specific than that. Because what we want to talk about is Christian marriage. It is a sacrament. While any marriage, in the proper sense of that, one male and one female, having vowed to live with one another for the rest of their lives, is about trying to live together and raise children. But that's not enough. That's not what it's really all about. If we look at what Jesus did with marriage, he raised it to a sacramental level. He made it holy. And he has called married people to be saints. And never in the history of the church have we needed it as badly as we do today. And so we have to begin with that point, that the thing that we seem to have forgotten about marriage these days is the line that is in the gospel that Jesus himself spoke. And he said, "What God has joined, let no man put asunder." You didn't join yourselves on the day you got married. The state certainly didn't join you together. From the state's perspective, the only thing holding the two of you together is a piece of paper, and that can be torn up as easily as it was printed. The state doesn't care. The state just cares about legalities. God is concerned about persons, and he's concerned about what is best for the persons who are involved. So we've gotten everything twisted and turned the wrong way. So we need to then begin with that point. What is at the foundation of a marriage? It is God who unites the souls of a man and a woman. That is not something a human being is capable of doing. It is a miracle that God works to be able to put two people together in a bond which is unbreakable. But that bond is based on charity, the very thing that the couple promises. Again, you look at all the things that St. Paul talks about. You don't promise mercy and humility and meekness and patience, because all of those come with charity. You promise that you're going to love one another. To love one another, as I mentioned, does not mean that you're going to have gushy feelings about one another every day for the rest of your life. Any couple who's been married more than a few months knows that, yeah, that might happen a couple of times a year. Beyond that, that's not the norm. You are to grow in love with one another every day, which means that every day you are to become less selfish. Our society is all about the self. Marriage is exactly the opposite of that. And so we have to make a choice of, are we going to follow the world or are we going to follow God? Look at what has happened because we've chosen to follow the world. It has destroyed the family. And in destroying the family, it has destroyed the children. And then those children are raised up to become the leaders for the next generation. And they don't have a solid foundation. Look around. The result is obvious. And so we need to have solid marriages so that we can have solid families. So if we're going to have a solid marriage, what's that going to look like? It is two people who are looking out for the good of one another. Not two people that just coexist in the same home. Two people who are actively seeking the good of the other person. Again, totally opposite of what our society says. Our society says it's all about me. God says it's all about the other person. When we look at marriage and what it is to be, the church calls the sacrament holy matrimony, the office of holy motherhood. Marriage is about the woman and the children, primarily. That's again important for us to understand, because the Protestant notion of marriage is that it is about the man. Catholic marriage is not. Now, the two are equal, the two are seeking one another's good, but primarily it is about the woman and the children. So that the best place for children to be raised and to be formed is in a place where there is stability and there is security. That's what the man is to provide for his wife, for his children. Throughout history, everyone has understood that. I like to point out to people, all you need to do is think about the boat's going down, or there is trouble coming to town. Who do you save? Women and children. It's a no-brainer until today. Why suddenly has this become a mystery to us? Everyone should know this. Just, it's within you. But again, if we want to be selfish, then it's not about the other one. It's just looking out for number one. And the one who pays the price for that is the children. Always. So if we would do what God asked us to do, and that is to truly love one another. Again, think about this for a minute. Jesus told us that we have to love. He even told us we have to love our enemies. So this is just Christian life that's being asked of us. And now within marriage, it's to take that to the next step and be able to say the focus is going to be on this one other person. We're to love everyone, but in a special way, I'm going to love this one. We're not doing a very good job of loving everyone. How are we going to be able to love this one? So we need to look at our whole aspect of Christian life and put that in perspective. Because too many of us have given in to the way of the world. Now, there are many marriages where people at least are committed and they're white-knuckling it. That's not what marriage is supposed to be either. And the reason why it's being white-knuckled is because the needs of the couple aren't being met. That, again, is the whole point of loving the other person. To seek the good of the other person. What does this other person need? The needs of the other are generally exactly the opposite of your own. The needs of a woman are completely different from the needs of a man. Consequently, what we're being asked to do is to die to ourselves because we think, naturally, whether we're male or female, that the other one needs the same thing that I do. They need just the opposite most of the time, which means you have to put yourself last. You have to think in a different way. You have to look out for the good of the other one by looking at what does the other one really need. This is especially difficult for men, because men's needs are pretty obvious and a woman can meet those needs. Women's needs are not so obvious, and men do not do a very good job of meeting their wives' needs, because women are relational by nature. And so it's the relationship, and it's the discussion, and it's the talking, and it's all of these things that are so important for a woman and the needs of a woman. And men need to be aware of that. They need to be looking out for all of these little things that are so important for their wives. Oftentimes that is completely missed, and consequently women wind up being rather miserable and frustrated. One of the things, by the way, ladies, that is totally contrary to the way that a woman normally would act, tell your husband what you need. You would never ever do that to another woman, because that would be a total insult to tell another woman what you need. I understand. It is not an insult to a man to tell him what you need, because he will not figure it out. Another woman will figure it out. Guys will not. Nor will they take it as an insult if you tell them what you need. They will look at it as freedom. Because if they truly love you, they're going to be frustrated seeing that you're frustrated because they're not meeting your needs, and they don't even know what your needs are, because they are completely the opposite of yours. So in charity, tell him what you need so that he can meet those needs. He wants to do that. If he truly loves you, he wants to do what's best for you. He wants to meet your needs. He just doesn't know what they are or how to do it. So again, not in a way that's putting somebody down, but in a way to build them up. Out of charity, tell him what you need so that he can grow in love with you and that you can grow in love with him. And all of this is not just for the good of one another, which it is, it's for the good of the children. Because children need to see this modeled in their parents. How are they going to know as they grow what this is supposed to look like unless they see it at home? They're not going to get it in the world. They need to see it in their parents. So everything has to be focused that way. So a simple principle: if you want to love one another more, love God more. If God is the one who put your two souls together, and God is the one who worked a miracle on the day you got married, he wants to be at the center of your marriage. He doesn't just want to be a part of your life. He wants to be at the center of your life and of your marriage. But you have to choose to put him there. So look at your prayer life, your own, your prayer life as a couple, and your prayer as a family. Put God at the center. Everything will flow from that. The more you love God, the more you can love one another. And the more you love one another, the more you can love your children. We oftentimes get that inverted and we think we just need to love the kids, which you do. But that doesn't make up for the rest. It doesn't go backwards. Love has to flow from God. So put God first. and then one another, and then the children, in the way that love goes. Obviously, when you got little guys, the vast majority of time is going to be spent with them. So I'm not talking about the time when we're saying what's first and what's second. I'm saying the relationships, the priorities, the order. We need to get it right. Put God first, put one another second, put your children third in that way, because it's what's best for the children. And it's what's best for one another. So if we're going to be able to live what we're supposed to live, what we're called to live, and especially today, if we're going to be able to protect and defend and build up marriages, we need to start by getting the foundation right, by getting the order right, and by doing what it is that is vowed on the day of marriage. So put God first in your life, and then really look at loving that other person, serving that person, doing what's best for that person. If both people are doing that, think how beautiful this will be. We don't see that very often, but that's what is vowed. And then you are going to have happy, well-formed children, because they see their parents are in love with one another, and they see their parents serving one another, and they see them serving the children. And then the children in turn learn how to serve one another and their parents for the good of everybody. That's what this is supposed to be about. Preparing the children then to be able to become parents themselves. So if we're really going to be serious about trying to defend marriage, then let's look at what it really is. It is a male and a female whose souls are united by a miracle of God and called to be able to live a godly life. God is love, and that is exactly what you have vowed to one another, to be able to share in that love that God has for you, that he has for your spouse, that he has for your children, and to be able to model that for those kids so that they in turn, formed in love, will be able to live that same love that they have received in their family.